This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we're very pleased to welcome Professor Bruce Bechtel, teaching at Angelo State University in Texas. Importantly, the author of North Korean Military Proliferation in the Middle East and Africa. That is evident in the Gaza War. It is also evident in the conversations and meetings between Pyongyang and Moscow these many last months, beginning, but perhaps not only beginning, with the now infamous meeting of Vladimir Putin traveling to Vladivostok, and Kim Jong-un, the heir apparent to the North Korean dictatorship. Bruce, a very good evening to you. Is there a correlation, anything that looks like a match, between the outreach from Moscow, the meeting in Vladivostok, the conversations about Vostochny, the Russian spaceport in Siberia, correlation between that and the increase in lethality of North Korean bragging about its satellites, about its nuclear weapons, about its armor? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think there, in fact, I shouldn't say I think, I know there is an absolute correlation. As you and Gordon probably well know, when Kim Jong-un went to Russia, he toured some of the space manufacturing facilities, or the facilities that manufacture satellites and space-related type stuff, etc., while he was up there. The Russians have also, for the first time in about 40 years, been assisting the North Koreans with their ballistic missile programs, including the Hwasong-18, which is an ICBM that can hit the United States that looks almost exactly like the Russian SS-27. What a coincidence, right? So this whole big thing that we see about the, you know, all the rhetoric we see from the North Koreans about expanding their space program most definitely is going to be very possible and very likely because of their relationship with the Russians. And as of yesterday, what I read yesterday from Michael Green, who you two probably know, was his estimates that he's seen are 2.5 million artillery and rocket shells so far North Korea has sent to the Russians. So they're getting a lot out of this. They're getting other stuff as well, but the space program and the increase it gives them to their intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance that has been so pathetic compared to the South Koreans and the Americans is likely to be extreme.
Gordon, you have a question.
Bruce, Kim Jong-un recently announced that there will be 3 satellite launches this year. What kind of satellites are we talking about? Reconnaissance? Will they carry weapons? What's going on here?
Well, if I was to guess, which is my job to do, I would say it's more likely reconnaissance, not weapon satellites. We have seen in the past that the North Koreans were looking to have a capability to go after our infrastructure, which we know that the Russians and the Chinese already have. I don't think the North Koreans are there yet. I don't think they're focused on that right now as their primary goal. Their primary goal, as you said, is ISR, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. It's important to understand, you know, if we're to talk about the capability that the ROK-US alliance has compared to what the North Koreans have, we've got hundreds of reconnaissance flights, just air breathers, those that are non-satellite, every month. We've got satellites that cover every single inch of North Korea day and night. They have nothing of the sort. So, I mean, they can launch 3 satellites this year or launch 30 satellites this year. They're not going to be anything close to that capability, but they want to have an intelligence capability against the South especially, but us against us too, because they're looking to even the playing field.
Bruce, about their nuclear weapons program, is it correct to say that they have successfully miniaturized a warhead to launch on their ICBMs, or that, is that aspirational?
I think it's correct to say that. You know, we don't have hard proof of that, but I know you watch this closely. You and Gordon both do, as do I. And in their space flights, not space flights, they're ballistic missile flights, or they're ICBMs. They're Hwasong 15 especially, and the Hwasong 18 most recently. We've seen that re-entry vehicle come in unharmed, you know, on flame, on fire, but, you know, the warhead would have been undamaged. And thus far, that's only been dummy warheads. So the only way we're going to know for sure that they have that capability to put it on a ballistic missile, fire it, you know, and then have it successfully re-enter the Earth's atmosphere is for them to do that. And, you know, in other words, they would test, for example, the Hwasong 18, and it would land at some empty part of the Pacific Ocean and detonate, and then we would all know, okay, they have that capability. They haven't done that yet, but all of the evidence points to the fact that they've already got the science down and they've already got the equipment down to actually have a successful warhead that will go on an ICBM, or for that matter, an IRBM, an intermediate range ballistic missile. So that would be my assessment at this time.
Gordon?
Well, Bruce, you talk about they've got the reentry vehicle. They've shown that. You say that they probably have miniaturized their warheads, which I'm sure is right. The only thing missing is guidance. How are they doing on guidance as far as we know?
Well, I think you and John just got to an important point there. You know, one would think you don't need a lot of guidance for a ballistic missile that's equipped with a nuclear warhead, just aim it at some city, right? Well, that's not true. I mean, it's important for them. Now, why is it important that you brought that up? Because who could help them with that the most? The Russians, of course. And who is most in need of North Korean military capability support? The Russians right now, as long as that war in Ukraine is going on. So if the Russians are going to help the North Koreans with that kind of capability, improving their guidance on these ICBM systems, now is the time. And that's something we should all be looking for over the next months and the next couple of years.
There is a new administration in Seoul. Has it made a material difference, the face-off on the DMZ? Is North Korea evidencing any concern about its defenses, or is it mounting new offenses to provoke South Korea?
Well, I think it's made a huge difference, John. And you know, as Gordon and you have talked about in the past, I listen to your show, as you know, in the rhetoric of nothing else, but it's also made a difference in how they're adjusting and upgrading their military capabilities. And I think a big part of that is the threat that they see from the NCG, or the Nuclear Coordination Group, that was formed about a year ago with this new ROK administration and the Biden administration, where they now actually engage in counter-nuclear warfare planning vis-a-vis North Korea. And that's a big deal. That's something that the ROKs were not really included in on before. They are now. And I think Kim Jong-un sees this as a major threat. And thus, we see the rhetoric, the hyperbole coming about the quote-unquote evil behavior of the United States and our South Korean lackeys. That evil behavior simply means we're working closer together now than we ever have in countering his nuclear capabilities. So that's something we're going to see, I think, this year.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Bruce, South Korea and Japan have often had testy relations. They've improved under Yoon Suk-yeol, the current South Korean president. How is that playing, though, among the South Korean people? Are they buying it, or are they still very anti-Japanese and showing it?
Well, that's a really good question, Gordon. And I guess the best answer to that is, think of American politics on steroids. So, I mean, we're pretty much split 50-50 between conservatives and liberals, or some facsimile thereof, in the United States. It's pretty much the same way in South Korea. I think conservatives see that relationship as being very important because it helps improve their defense against things like, you know, North Korean missiles and, you know, logistic support during a war and all those kinds of things. I think that the liberals in South Korea continue to have that very xenophobic, anti-Japanese attitude. That's certainly what we've seen in the press. And so certainly when you read the South Korean press, as I know you do, Gordon, you often see both good things and bad things said about it. But the fact of the matter is, in order to better defend themselves against the North Korean threat, it's a good thing that Japan and South Korea are working together with the United States. All that does is help our defensive efforts and deter the North Koreans in a more effective way.
Bruce Bechtel, North Korean Military Proliferation in the Middle East and Africa author, Gordon Chang. I'm John Bechtel.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bechtel.